Welcome to this reading of City View. I'm Barbara Martin. City View is an alternative monthly that's published in Des Moines, and we'll be reading our first episode for the month of February 2024. Our first article today, entitled, Iowa Needs to Stop Creeping Secrecy Over Names. And this is our stray thoughts item from Randy Evans. The increasing secrecy by Iowa law enforcement and their lawyers about identifying people by name raises important questions underlying public confidence in the critical work of first responders. The question deals with whether police can or should refuse to identify persons involved in incidents and crimes. Despite Iowa's history of openness about crimes and accidents, with increasing frequency, public officials refuse to provide names of people who end up in these events, whether as victims or perpetrators. A few examples illustrate this issue. Des Moines police officers encountered a tense standoff early in the morning after Christmas in 2022. The incident involved a 16-year-old boy with a handgun. The events unfolded inside the apartment where his grandmother lived. His mother and stepfather lived a couple of doors away. In the 5 minutes after officials arrived, having been summoned by the stepfather, officers pleaded 70 times with the teen to put down the gun, according to a report from the Iowa Attorney General's office. The standoff ended with the youth raised the gun toward officers, resulting in them firing 14 shots that struck him in the head and torso. The Attorney General's report identified the dead boy only by his initials, T.J. Des Moines City attorneys ordered police not to make public their body camera video from the standoff or the teen's name, despite the willingness of the officials to do so. The lawyers claim releasing the name and video would violate Iowa's juvenile justice law because the teen had not been charged with any crime in connection with the standoff. Of course, authorities seldom prosecute the dead. Keep this supposed legal analysis in mind and think back to the mass shootings at Perry High School. Within hours of the tragedy, law officers released the name of Dylan Butler, 17, the student who fatally shot one student and injured four other students and three school employees before he took his own life. The day after the shooting, officials made public the name of Amir Jolliffe, 11, a sixth grader who died from gunshot wounds. High school principal Dan Marburger, 56, hailed as a hero for protecting students, and he died from his wounds. No one, asserted Perry Police and the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, violated any statute by making public the shooter's name or the name of the sixth grader who was killed. However, officials have not made public the names of any of the survivors who were injured. It is nonsense to believe that officials acted improperly or against public interest in identifying the shooter or in naming the sixth grader or principal. For anyone to assert otherwise makes a mockery of government transparency and implies that Iowans are so detached from their communities they do not want to know who was involved in this tragedy. But think back to last May and news of a tragic incident in Iowa City when a motor vehicle struck fatally injured an Iowa National Guard soldier. Corey Height of Cedar Rapids was jogging near West Des Moines schools when the vehicle hit him. Iowa City police refused for more than a month to confirm the identity of the driver, the 16-year-old son of University of Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey, because he is a juvenile and had been charged with and had not been charged with any legal infractions. So the younger McCaffrey was convicted of a failure to yield charge and was fined $1,000. Then go back to the weekend before the Iowa City accident, when two classmates of the young McCaffrey were involved in what state troopers said was a street race. The two teens, both 17, failed to heed a stop sign and collided with a car traveling through the intersection. The car's driver, Jennifer Russell, 22, of Waterloo, died a short time later. The names of the two street racers and a passenger in one of their cars were released the next day by the Iowa State Patrol. Cases where police withhold names continue to increase, with the secrecy maintained for inexplicable reasons. Some cases involve fatal traffic accidents. Others involve people shot by police. Some involve people who died in a drowning or similar tragedy. All these incidents raise important questions. Why are some people's names made public while other people's names are not? The legislature enacted a law more than 40 years ago requiring that law enforcement agencies to release the name, date, time, specific, not name, but the date, time, and specific location, and what the law calls the imminent facts and circumstances about a crime or other incident to which the police are sent. In 1990, legal opinion from the Iowa Attorney General reminds government officials that there is a presumption of disclosure of these facts, except in those unusual circumstances where disclosure would plainly and seriously jeopardize an investigation or pose a clear and present danger to the safety of an individual. The opinion stated victim names are one of the immediate facts covered by the disclosure requirement. The lack of consistency from town to town, county to county, and within state government raises the specter of favoritism. This inconsistency leads to suspicion. Young McCaffrey's case received special treatment because of his famous father, something the two street racers did not receive because their families are not well known. Indeed, some in Iowa City speculate the racers got different treatment because they were black. Keeping the actions of government employees transparent and open to scrutiny is vital to maintaining public trust and confidence in our government institutions. Accountability requires an informed public that obtains reliable information from public officials, rather than relying on rumor, gossip, or theories woven on social media. Another important element to releasing victim names often gets overlooked. Iowans have seen an outpouring of emotional and financial support that has warmed the hearts and tempered the pain of the victims in the Perry School tragedy, in the death of the Iowa National Guard sergeant in Iowa City, and in the recent drowning of a 9-year-old boy in a pond in Waukee, where police refused to identify him. All of this underscores why access to accurate information from law enforcement is so important. It lies at the heart of being a community of caring and informed neighbors. And now, Ask City View by the City View staff. So this is anything that you can email into the editor at the Des Moines, dmcityview.com, and you can get your questions answered by the staff. And this first question is, why does the DOT need 12 cranes, some next to each other, for the East Mix project? Answer. We posed this question to the Iowa DOT, and District Construction Engineer Scott Nixon responded, quote, "The contractor is getting ready to receive the steel girders for the section of the new flyover that will span both directions of I-235. When the contractor handles these steel girders, which are 9 feet tall in that section, they need multiple cranes due to the length and the weight of the girders. When setting girders, they typically need 2 cranes for the girders and at least 1 additional crane to lift the man baskets and scaffolding needed to bolt the girders together in the air," said Nixon. He added, Rather than moving these sets of cranes from one side of the interstate to the other when setting the girders in sequence, the contractor has multiple cranes in multiple locations to speed up the process. Okay, second question. Why is there little gas price competition except in Southeast Ankeny? Answer, gas prices are affected for a number of reasons. The price of oil, the cost of transportation, the location of the store, and gasoline tax are the main factors, with the first being the most important. More than half of the cost of filling your tank is influenced by the price of crude oil, per the Department of Energy. What it comes down to is competition. Gas stations are willing to take a hit on their gas prices because a majority of their profits are made inside the store, not at the pump. According to Energy5.com, generally, fuel sales result in a profit margin of only a few cents per gallon, while the profits from selling snacks or other goodies can be much higher, meaning it's likely that the large number of gas stations in the heavily populated parts of Ankeny account for the lower price of gas. And the last question, what's the most snow that Des Moines has received in 1 week? And the answer, Iowa was hammered with snowfall the week of January 8 to 12. According to the National Weather Service of Des Moines, the Des Moines airport recorded 22.3 inches of snow, 12.4 inches from January 8 to 10, and 9.9 inches from January 11 to 12. That places the week's snowfall at second all-time on record for a five-day total, just 0.4 inches short of the record. Now, the three highest-ranking weeks in terms of total snowfall in Des Moines history are 22.7 inches from December 28, 1941 to January 1, 1942, and then 22.3 inches from January 8 to 12 of 2024, and 20.2 inches from March 14 to 18 of 2023. Now, when it comes to cold temperatures in general, heavy snow doesn't always mean deadly cold. However, the blizzard warning that was issued for most of Iowa originally predicted sub-zero temperatures from January 12 to January 15. The record longest stretch of below zero air temperature is 132 hours, from 1 a.m. on January 30 to 12 p.m. February 4 of 1996. If you were curious, the coldest day in Iowa occurred in Ouachita on January 12, when it reached a frigid minus 47 degrees Fahrenheit. And now Civic Skinny by the City View staff, and these are the topics under this. University sabbaticals, cookbook, bees, and knitting. Also, baby names, broken records, and growth ranking. For most of us, taking a sabbatical is viled as a simple vacation. It is a nice break from work, if nothing else. However, the definition, at least according to the Oxford Dictionary, is, quote, a period of paid leave granted to a university teacher or other worker for study or travel, traditionally 1 year for every 7 years worked. We looked through the 106 sabbatical requests or professional development assignments, PDAs, for fiscal year 2025 that have been approved by the Iowa Board of Regents. These will come at an estimated faculty replacement cost of $266,468. So, the University of Northern Iowa, those that are there will be Fernando Calderon Herrera, a professor of history for 11 years at UNI, plans to do research on his sabbatical that will highlight how the impact of civil society organizations and non-governmental actors has shaped Mexico's relationship with Eastern Bloc countries and oppressed peoples caused in the Third World. His request says that he believes that it is essential for UNI students to gain insight into the complex socio-political dynamics that have shaped history through the influx of Mexican musicians, teachers, feminists, activists, working-class youth, and journalists to the Third World, and how they've been more effective in their efforts to earn Mexico's reputation as a leader in the Third World than the institutional revolutionary government. Okay, that's the first one. The second one from UNI is Sohun Meacham. And this person has spent 10 years in curriculum and instruction at UNI, and her project is called Intersectionality in Asian American Early Childhood, and is about issues surrounding Asian American children and their families. These issues are listed as diversity of Asian American young children, Asian crit and alternative theories, gendered practices, and expectations of Asian American children, social class, and untold, hidden poverty in Asian American early childhood, multicultural picture books on Asian American children, intersectional invisibility of Asian American children with disabilities, and Asian American families' experience in predominantly white communities. Well, that's a project. The last of the three sabbatical requests from UNI faculty comes from Michael Proffitt, mathematics professor, who has 24 years under his belt. His project, entitled Simultaneous Minimal Extensions, and it looks at data modeling. He seeks to accomplish the goal of minimal error approximation using an innovative technique. The new technique involves determining minimal error, shape-preserving approximations on smaller subspaces of a given large space of data, and then simultaneously extending those approximations from the smaller sets to the original large set. Exactly. Then we turn to Iowa State University. And it had 38 sabbatical requests, and these are the ones that caught the eye of CityView staff. First one is Abby Dubasar. She's an associate professor of English with 12 years of service, and her project is titled Cookbooks as Civic Action, Food Rhetorics for Peace and Justice. She says her project will explore and analyze cookbooks published between 1968 and 2017 to see how authors took position on civic and political issues and how they might have instructed readers on persuasive strategies while being a platform for women's perspectives on world affairs. And then Professor of Psychology Zlatan Krizan has 16 years at ISU, and his sabbatical project is titled Fatigue During Investigations, Optimizing High Stakes Interviewing, and applies sleep and fatigue science to improve the effectiveness of interrogations. The goal of this project is to result in a new research program on interrogations and enhance ISU's reputation in legal psychology scholarship. And last, after 13 years as a professor of ecology, evolution, and organismal biology, Amy Toth requested a sabbatical entitled Strengthening International Collaboration for Bee Conservation Using Big Data. The project looks at the decline in pollinators as a major area of research in public interest because it has the potential to severely impact ecosystems and food supplies. As part of this research, Professor Toth will travel to Argentina to integrate bee conservation with bee data, which will result in peer-reviewed publications, seminars, and conference presentations. Then, at the University of Iowa, professors and faculty accounted for more than half of the total sabbatical requests, with 65, including these three, from Monica Correia, C-O-R-R-E-I-A, professor of art and art history for 19 years. She submitted a sabbatical request titled Seamless Upholstery Design. Professor Correia will be applying for a Fulbright research grant in advanced weaving, knitting techniques, and materials for seamless upholstery design. She plans to perform this research at the École Nationale Supérieure des Arts Décoratifs in Paris, France. With 7 years at UI, Associate Professor of Cinema Arts Christopher Goetz has a sabbatical request of Another Castle, Gaming Culture Behind the Scenes. Professor Goetz plans to use this study to develop methods for preserving the past and present context of the video games that people play. He plans to incorporate his findings into undergraduate and graduate courses at UI. The description states, though they are still treated as an emerging art form, commercial video games have been around for more than 50 years. Preserving records of gaming's past is proving one of the greatest and most urgent challenges facing the academic study of games. Then Inara Verzemeeks, Associate Professor of English for 8 years, will write a book about soccer. The title of the project, A Human History of Soccer, Error, and the Triumph of Calamity. She will explore this sport where achieving a 10-10 performance is the most difficult accomplishment, only completed by 15 players in the last 75 years. Professor Verzemeeks will use her findings to teach her students at UI and believes the book will have worldwide appeal. And moving to the next topic. Mercy One Hospitals, located across Iowa, celebrated more than 8,200 births in 2023, which included 153 sets of twins and one set of triplets. The top boy names at Mercy One Medical Center in Des Moines were Oliver, Liam, and Henry, and the top girl choices were Eleanor, Harper, Ava, and Emmy. The one set of triplets were born at the Northeast Iowa Medical Center. Next, Des Moines Water Works set a new record in 2023 for water production and distribution, with more than 20 billion gallons of water being provided to their customers. The increase in water demand is likely the result of increased populations in central Iowa, as well as the drought, which led customers to water their lawns for longer stretches through the year. Next, the Des Moines Fire Department also set a record, apparently unrelated to the above terms of water, for responses in 2023. Naturally, this set another record for the fire department responding to a call every 16 minutes on average. They responded to a total of 33,351 calls during the year, 63% of which were EMS calls. A total of 952 calls were fire-related, which was a 10% increase from 2022. Fire station number one, located at 1330 Mulberry Street, was the busiest of them all. According to moving truck, trailer, and self-storage rental company U-Haul, fewer people are moving to Iowa, or at least fewer are using their trucks or trailers. From their 2023 U-Haul Growth States rankings, Iowa was 24th, falling three spots from the previous year. Now for your view, a letter to the editor. Mr. Goodman, I enjoyed and wholeheartedly agreed with your comments from the January 2024 issue. I agree that it is more difficult than ever to persuade people about anything. And one of the things I enjoy most about City View is that political content is minimal. Sometimes you just want to see what's going on in your community without hearing about everything being Donald Trump or Kim Reynolds' fault. I think you are on the right track and should try to avoid political content throughout the magazine year-round. Thanks, and keep up the great work, Adam Jones. And the poll positions resulting from last month's polls to dmcityview.com. Who is the best Christmas song crooner? What do you know? Bing Crosby got 60%. Harry Connick got 20, Nat King Cole 10, Ella Fitzgerald 5, and Dean Martin 5%. And how often do you take a nap? Well, 6.1% said once a year, 14% said once a month, and 16.3% said never. Once a week, at 28.5%, and once a day, almost 35%. And that does it for this episode of City View. We've been reading from February 2024 issue. And we thank you for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. And if you have any questions about this or any other IRIS program, please give us a call at 515-243-6833. Thanks for listening.